Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. It is Thursday, I'm reasonably sure, Jay. I'm Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer, Jay Posner, sports editor, sitting across from me, or I should say me sitting across from you, Jay.
Kevin, this is, what a treat. You walking into the office today and immediately saying, wow, everybody moved. And it was like, yeah, Kevin, that was like months ago. But thanks for noticing anyway.
Where have I been?
It's always good to have you in the office here on a rainy Thursday of all things, although I do believe it's supposed to be okay before the game tonight. Padres Pirates start a four-game series, which is a little bit rare. So that's why we're doing this on a Thursday.
So will it be exactly what the Padres need? And first off, I want to say, if my math is correct, they went 500 with the stretch of games beginning with the – who was before the Nationals? It was a stretch where we said, you know what, this is going to be tough for the Padres. I just remember
that.
And the fact is, for even though it's been down, and 500 is not what they were going into that.
They started with Seattle.
There we go.
And they won the first four, two against Seattle, two against Washington. Right. So then they had Atlanta, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Rockies, the Dodgers again. I haven't added it up, but that sounds about right.
And we're talking about the Dodgers and Rockies in there, who they have a losing record against.
Well, they're 2-8. Against those two teams. They're 20-13 against everybody else.
So there you go.
So, you know, those two teams are better than they are. That's the way it goes. It doesn't mean they can't win games against them occasionally. They won a game against the Dodgers here. They won a game against the Rockies the other night. Joey Lucchesi pitched very well at Coors. But time after time, if they play a lot of games against the Dodgers and Rockies, they are going to lose more games than they win against those teams. The key is 20-13 against everybody else, and everybody else includes teams like the Pirates, who are not very good. Their record is okay. They're 21-19. Their run differential is -47. That tells me they're kind of hanging by a thread. But they do have some good players. It doesn't mean that, you know, the Padres are going to walk out there, win 3 out of 4 automatically. Let's cover that series real quick first before we get into what we want to do is sort of a quarterly report.
Right.
With this podcast, the Padres have played 43 games so far, so barely past the quarter mark of the season. But I'll switch over to my notes page with the...
I can hear it, Jay. Now that I'm here with you, I can hear it. Yeah.
Pirates' best pitcher, Kevin, is...
Trevor Williamson.
Jordan Lyles.
Oh, okay. And is it Williams?
Trevor Williams will pitch tonight.
He's pitching
San Diego kid, Rancho Bernardo.
Yeah.
Jordan Lyles, who's been their best pitcher, 2.09 ERA for Jordan Lyles. He'll go tomorrow, and then Joe Musgrove, another local kid from East County, is scheduled to pitch on Sunday. I actually saw Joe Musgrove pitch in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. He entered the game with like a 1.6 ERA, didn't get out of the third inning. He was awful, had another awful start after that. Last week, 7 innings, 1 hit ball. So which kid will show up this weekend at Petco? You know, probably the kid who pitched 7 innings and 1 hit ball.
So I want to bring up Jordan Lyles, who does pitch after Trevor Williams tonight. So Jordan Lyles tomorrow. Jeff Sanders maybe thought I was joking. He texted me this morning. I got back to him a little, but not really, because I got in late last night from L.A. and it was early. Don't know what Jeff was doing up. But anyway, he said, what should I write about Friday? Because I'm going to skip Friday. All right? Yep,
you're skipping a, Mr. Almost Perfecto? Yeah.
So, and I said, Jordan Lyles. And he maybe thought I was joking, right? Jordan Lyles, not the greatest talker. Jordan Lyles wasn't here that long. I think an interesting topic, and it's very simply explained. How much could Jordan Lyles help the Padres this year based on where they're at with their starting rotation? Absolutely.
Right.
The reason Jordan Lyles isn't here is because this is so much more than about this year. That's why last August he was, you know, put on waivers and they let him go. It's like, yes, Jordan Lyles, not great, but he could eat innings for them.
Sure.
But that's not what the Padres are about right now. They're about, let's see Nick Margavich's. Let's see Chris Paddock, obviously. Let's find out for real what Eric Lauer, Joey Lucchesi are about. So I wanted to get that out of the way.
Because,
hey, I like Jordan Lyles. Uh-huh. That guy's good.
Yeah. No, okay. I mean, that was one of the most memorable days of the season last year, was sitting out there and thinking, wait a minute, Jordan Lyles is pitching a perfect game. Can this actually happen? And it almost did.
What would Kirk Kinney have written about today?
I know. We wouldn't have had that. I hope everybody caught the stories on the no-hitters and the near misses and more agony from this franchise. But real quick on the Pirates, don't want to get too deep into that bullpen. Felipe Vasquez has been phenomenal this year. 1 earned run in 18 2/3 with 30 strikeouts. So probably not a guy you want to see come in with the game on the line. I think the Padres did beat him last year.
Mm-hmm. I remember that in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Liriano's been good. Kyle Crick, lowest average exit velocity against in the major leagues this year.
Mm-hmm. You can score two runs on low exit velocity, though.
That's right. I think we saw that. I think we saw that last night. And then we need to see Josh Bell, who has been one of the best hitters in baseball this year, slugging almost 700, and that is very good.
That is very good. No one around here would know that.
That's
but
right.
It would be very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like impressive that the Padres have a couple of guys slugging around 560, 570, but Josh Bell is close to 700 right now for the Pirates. So he's definitely someone to watch out for. And then another local kid who's been good off the bench, Kevin Newman from Poway, has been good for the Pirates. But let's get to what we talked about doing today, which is to break down the Padres through the first quarter of the season, 22-21. They've been as much as, what, 11-5 was their high water mark?
It was the high water mark the first 16 games, obviously.
Right.
Because that's what 11 plus 5 is, Jay.
Okay, got that.
And then they've gotten back up to four games above, right?
Right.
They got their run differential positive. Now, what is it, minus 16?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So, what does that mean to you, Jay?
It means that right now that this team is about what I thought it would be.
Amen.
Right around 500. I mentioned the other day, 80, 81, 82 wins. If you said that at the start of the year, I would say, hey, that's a pretty good season. That's about what I would have expected. They don't have to play the Dodgers or the Rockies coming up. There are some other decent teams that they do have to play. I mean, you can't play bad teams all the time. But I think this team has – they're going to have their ups and downs. They're going to have their 11-5s. They're going to have their stretches, you know, 2-8 against the Rockies and the Dodgers. Yeah. And I think the one surprise, and we've touched on this a little bit, is the pitching. Starting pitching has been pretty good, phenomenal with two guys. Paddock's been off the charts, even with his game the other night. Matt Strom pitched really well again last night, victimized by, you know, three cheap hits that got two runs.
One bad pitch, and you could argue it wasn't terrible. But
yeah.
It was, you know, a slider that he left up, and he knew it. Other than that, that's what the Dodgers are, man.
Yeah.
That,
I mean,
he
held the Dodgers to two runs. I think most teams would take that. Hey, our starting pitcher is going to hold the Dodgers to two runs. That was pretty good. The bullpen has leaked more holes than I think we thought it would. And the offense has not been what we thought it would. So where do you want to start?
Well, I want to say that pitching, and it could be, again, you need a longer stretch than a week or even two. In some cases, even three. You need a month or month and a half just to really get a trend in a baseball season. But the Padres have been concerned that they've left wins on the table because this pitching would come back to earth. They're going to run out of innings, right? Nick Margavichus is going to get hit around a little bit, right? Everyone is. And that's sort of shown over the last week or so.
Right.
And so, and I know Coors Field was in there, but the signs that, maybe you should start hitting to help your guys win, are showing up.
Well, all the starters are averaging, I think they've all pitched eight games maybe, the main guys, and they're all averaging between 5 5 2/3 per start. That's about where you would want Paddock and Strom to be based on their limits. It's not where you would want Lauer and Lucchesi to be.
They're the innings leaders, not good.
Right. You would hope that Lauer and Lucchesi would have been better, especially Lauer. You know, he has had bad innings and too many of them and bad outings. And if you take away the 6 shutout on opening day, his numbers are really approaching ugly territory. So we might as well start with the rotation. And, again, not much more you can say about Paddock. You know, learning experience the other night. I wouldn't say he was terrible. Got a bad break with the Machado error that kind of, you know, led to things. But he threw a couple of really bad pitches to Jock Peterson, I think, hit the fastball.
The fastball.
And Bellinger hit the changeup.
And that was like, I don't know, to stay with that changeup and hit it like that, that's a really good hit.
It was.
But it wasn't
a great pitch. It was up higher than I'm sure that Paddock would want it to be.
Oh, no, that was the thing. And here's the deal.
But you can't make, you know, that's the thing. You're going to make mistakes, and a lot of times you're going to get away with them. Most of the time against the Dodgers, and especially right now against those two guys and the power that they've shown, you're not going to get away with it.
So Chris Paddock basically only threw fastball changeup against the Mets, goes 7 2/3 innings, and was never threatened,
right?
Strikes out 11. If you had asked me before the game, you have to choose because if you get the wrong answer, you're going to die, okay? What's going to happen in the game? And the choice, one of the choices you gave me was the Dodgers are going to make him throw too many pitches and run him from the game early. That would have been my choice because he's not confident enough in the curveball yet to really throw it. He doesn't have that conviction. Well, he threw eight of them and seven of them were balls against the Dodgers. Two pitches when they're not their sharpest against the Dodgers, that's what happened.
Right.
He wasn't terrible. It was the Dodgers.
Yeah, and he was unable to put guys away the way that he's put away most hitters on most teams. He's put guys away. The Dodgers, I think, had more than 20 foul balls the other night. But we talked about this 2 days ago. That's what the Dodgers do. And they grinded again last night. They knocked, you know, Strom only went five last night because the Dodgers are really good. And you can't judge the Padres based on how they fare against the Dodgers. You have to judge the season as a whole. The Padres are not a better team than the Dodgers. They are not going to be a better team than the Dodgers this year. Probably are not going to be a better team than the Dodgers next year. And the way some of these guys are going, they may not be a better team than the Dodgers for several years. But we'll get to that. But the Dodgers are just better than they are right now. And they had a couple chances to beat them at Petco, let a couple leads get away. You know, these games were again, they had their chances. They had a couple chances the other night where a big hit gets them back to like 6-5. Last night, they're only down 2-0. As we've seen, they haven't capitalized on a lot of those.
Well, not to jump around, because I think we were still on the rotation, but I mean, the fact is, last night was a prime example, probably the primest of examples, but you could pick a game where two guys did well and the rest of the lineup did squat.
Right.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, the $50 million twins, right? Eric Hosmer at 20 and Machado at 30 got all of their hits.
Right.
Hosmer had three singles. Two of them beat the shift. One of them was a bunt and a loud double by Machado. And that was it. Now, Maeda's good. He really is. Now, we don't need to keep talking about how good the Dodgers are.
And the night before, I think, was Machado and Reyes
Reyes.
All the damage,
that's it.
Right?
So it's been like two. I've gone through. Just make sure. Am I out of my mind? And it's Greg Garcia and Machado. It's Machado and Reyes. It's Hosmer and Greg Garcia. I love Greg Garcia, but that should not be the guy carrying your team.
Right.
Or you got a little problem.
Yeah. Who else? Lauer, we talked about a little bit, needs to be better.
It's, you know what's bad there, and I'm going to write about it tonight because it's Lauer on Thursday as we tape this and Lucchesi on Friday.
Right, right.
It's a Lauer-Lucchesi kind of feature coming out of tonight because these are the two guys that they said, you're our workhorses this year, guys, and they haven't been. And the scary thing to them would be that Lauer is actually a better pitcher, but his results are worse.
Uh-huh.
So what's happening? When's he going to fix it? Your eight starts in, man. Time to go more than five. Time to not get blown up. Throw out Coors Field if you want. It was a disaster.
Right.
I can't say the word that Eric said it was. It was actually pretty funny. It's kind of sad, actually. But anyway, so Lucchesi needs to, that was a really good start. Here's something you don't say about pitchers very often. Can that guy be good anywhere but Coors Field?
Right.
No. So there's hopefulness there. And then Margavichus is what he is. I really believe that, he could be an innings eater for you. Probably not a guy who's going to be in your rotation when you're really good.
Right.
So the issue this year, Jay, is where are you finding 130 to 150 innings? And I've got some answers if you want them.
What do you got?
So besides Dallas Keuchel, who would probably eat up all of them, and I think makes a lot of sense, and we'll see here in a couple weeks. But you're going to start seeing guys like, I did the Trevor Williamson butcher. Andres Munoz, the kid throwing like 104.
Right.
I really believe that in a month you're going to see him up, okay? So there's some high leverage innings. Miguel Diaz is going to come up, eat two or three innings at a time. If Robert Stock can get his stuff together, two or three innings at a time. You're going to see Logan Allen. You're going to see Cal Quantrill. So you got Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill filling in for starts. You become a six-man rotation most of the time, probably.
Are we going to see one of those guys this weekend?
We're going to see probably Cal Quantrill. He started on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay, so be a week later. And, the Padres have, starting on Monday, it was 34 games in 37 days. Or started on Tuesday at the Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
It was 34 and 37. So it's 32 in the next 35 days. And so we're going to see more of that. You're going to see starts from Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill at some point, almost assuredly. And then perhaps some of those bullpen games. What if Luis Perdomo could come up and give you two and Robert Stock and or Miguel Diaz? But they just need to start filling days.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. They'll be okay. The next two Thursdays are off after today as they go back and forth across the country.
Before Toronto and after New York,
right?
Yep.
And then there's a stretch they come home and play 10 straight. at home, have a day off, and then play another like eight straight. So there's going to be stretches there where you're going to need to see pitchers. Bullpen, Kirby Yates, we talked about a little bit the other day. He's been excellent. Gave up a couple runs against the Dodgers, obviously, but guys are going to give up runs. It happens. You just hope it's not in situations like that.
The last two nights, the Dodgers threatened against the bullpen but didn't score.
Yeah. No, they were better. I mean, you know, losing Wingenter has hurt because he was pitching well. Stammen's been pretty well. You got to worry about him, you know, being a little older and wearing down a little bit. And then they're going to need to find guys that, you know, Phil Maton last night pitched well. Phil Maton in other outings hasn't pitched well.
I will say this. And again, hey, look, a good reliever, doesn't happen, right? But did you happen to see the pitch Nolan Arenado hit, the bases-clearing triple? Was it a triple or a double? Whatever it was. In Coors Field, once they cleared the bases, all right? It was like 2 feet outside.
I know.
It was like Nolan Arenado's like, I'm 0 for 3 tonight. This can't happen. See you, Phil. And, reaches out, puts a double down the line.
I'm amazed sometimes at the pitches guys hit. Where you go, that was a pretty good pitch. I can't believe he got a hit.
So I just wanted to say, look, Phil is not your high leverage guy, okay? But sometimes the hitters are good.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go to the offense. I took notes position by position here.
Oh, boy.
I started at first base. Hosmer's numbers right now, and obviously it's just a snapshot after 43 games, his numbers right now are really in line with his career numbers. His on-base percentage is just a little bit low, but his adjusted OPS is something like 112. I think his career number is like 111 at this point. So he's right in line that. His defensive numbers, again, this is according to Baseball Reference, his defensive numbers are horrible. He is as bad defensively, again, according to the numbers, and I know there's anecdotal evidence that maybe suggests otherwise, but his numbers are as bad defensively as Franmil Reyes.
Okay.
And that's something you would not expect to hear. And maybe, and again, I don't know how the numbers are figured. I don't know how much to believe in defensive numbers.
Yeah.
But he is not as good defensively as I think sometimes we were led to believe that he was going to be.
I think
he's not Manny Machado.
I think he's a metric defier. Well, he's at first base.
Well,
but here's the deal. I feel like there have been some plays Eric should have made this year. He may have cost him a game, you know, that you would say, hey, wait, are you our gold glove first baseman, right?
Right.
He's a metric defier. He does things that, look, he doesn't have range. He's at first base.
Yeah.
He would tell you that. I was like,
right.
I play first base.
Right.
You know, so.
Again, offensively, though, he's shown a lot better. Goes the other way a lot. Seen those bunts now that have come up in clutch situations where he's not afraid. He's not afraid to do that. My first thought last night was I'd almost rather see him try, and this was talked about on the broadcast, because Mark Grant said, hey, maybe Hosmer should drop one of those bunts down. And Orsillo said, which is what I was thinking, boy, I don't know, he's the tying run. Maybe you try to hit one out of the ballpark. But his stroke facing Kenley Jansen with that ball bearing in on you, I'm not sure Hosmer had much of a chance to hit a home run. It was almost
besides
better.
Who was coming up.
Right, it was almost better at that point. If he gets on base and you set it up for Hunter Renfroe, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. So offensively, Hosmer has been better this year. We can get into whether he's worth all the money, whatever. They paid him that money. He's producing more this year.
There you go. Just like the only argument last year was he wasn't producing last year.
Right.
So then all you say now, he is producing,
this
year.
Speaking of producing or not producing, we'll go to second base.
I was going to say, are you going to go in order?
Yeah, we're going to go to second base. Look, I think you and I have been as patient with Ian Kinsler as anybody short of the organization that's not in the organization. But I no longer understand why Ian Kinsler is on this team.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because that anybody knows what you're talking about.
Right.
What is the solution?
Well,
because I would say I agree with you.
Where is Luis Urias at this point?
They do not believe that he's ready, and since he's the future, if you bring him up and he tanks again, he looks lost again, then what is happening?
Right.
My question again and again and again to several people has been, when is it he's spinning his wheels? And my answer the other day finally was that, yeah. So I'm thinking it's imminent, okay? So like that is a conversation they're having every day. So we're not seeing exactly what we want to see from him and his approach, quality at bats down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you or I are going to get a couple hits in the Pacific Coast League, right, especially in certain venues, right? We're going to put out our bat. It's going to hit the ball, and it's going to fly over first base.
Well, we'll get to some of that when we get to third base.
Right. So they're not seeing what they want to see yet. But at some point, what more can the guy do in AAA?
Right.
Get him up here and you know, sink or swim or whatever, if this is who you thought he was. Now, I got to tell you, they never thought this guy was anywhere near Fernando Tatis Jr.
Right.
He just happens
right.
to be their second-ranked position
yeah.
prospect.
What, I guess, okay, I'll play devil's advocate. Yeah. Greg Garcia, been very good against right-handers, seems to be getting all the starts now against right-handers.
Yeah.
He's not very good against lefties. Is he any worse than Kinsler against lefties at this point in the way that what we've seen out of
okay.
Kinsler had the one stretch for about a week where he did well. He hit three home runs, I think, in that time.
Well, and I think he was what? He was like I think it was 7 for 27 in the first five, six games.
Might have been
May.
9 for
Whatever.
27.
9 for 27.
Yeah,
correct.
Something like that.
And he drove in some runs and
right.
it was big.
No, he was producing.
So he's not Chase Headley of
right.
last year.
Right.
But, yes. Okay, so Greg Garcia has had like four stretches in his career where he's played most games in a 2 to 3 week period. What happens to a player when he's no longer hitting 380, you know, getting on base at 410 clip against righties because now he's struggling against lefties and he's playing every day? So Greg Garcia is not your answer, but Greg Garcia, Luis Urias or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the same time, if you bring up Urias, do you really want him platooning? Because
exactly, that, yes.
I don't see that being nope. the case. If they bring him up, they need to commit to putting him out there, but they need to be sure. I mean, Urias was, look, he was bad when he was here. I mean,
he wasn't great last year.
No, and it was kind of shockingly bad
yes.
to watch him this year. And the people that we hear too much from, you know, sometimes will say, hey, well, he didn't get to play every day. Well, he didn't deserve to play every day because he looked lost.
This wasn't
at the plate. This was not a guy who looked like he belonged. And, you know, so I understood completely where it was like, whoa, we can't just throw this guy out there and let him strike out four times a game because he just looked lost. Now, when he comes back, I understand the hesitancy then because you want him to come back and be ready. But And again, it's frustrating watching Kinsler because there's just nothing that he's offering at this point. Even defensively, I don't even think he's been very good.
Well, he hasn't been spectacular, but he's better than Greg Garcia.
That's
I just want to
yeah.
say that, but I don't know that that's worth it.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm arguing.
Exactly.
Now, I want to say that.
And I'm not trying to – look, I know Kinsler is the easiest target in the world. There are people out there who believe that if the Padres got rid of Ian Kinsler and Andy Green, they would be 162
because Hedges and Myers and Margot would start hitting better.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Must be contagious.
By the way, I made a note. The Padres have, we can get to this at the outfielder, not one Padre outfielder, they have four that they rotate. Not one has an on-base percentage of 300. I mean, that's just awful. They talked about we have to be better getting on base. They don't have one guy in the outfield, 300. Then you throw in the catcher, who isn't hitting at all. And then you throw in second base, not hitting at all. And then you throw in third base, since Machado has to play short until Tatis gets back. Third base, not hitting at all. You're down to Hosmer and Machado are the only guys that are getting on base at a reasonable clip. Now, Reyes and Renfro will hit home runs, at least. But these other guys just haven't done anything. And so it's comical sometimes to see that getting rid of Ian Kinsler is the answer to everything. And I understand people are tired of watching him play, but he's not the reason the Padres are losing games against the Dodgers and the Rockies.
Right. In fact, if Will Myers were hitting, and this is just an explanation, not like, ooh, let's, you know, Ian Kinsler. As a matter of fact, one person in the organization, when I bugged them again about Urias the other day, they said, what is this, 2018? Because I was all
right.
over him last year
right.
about it. I want to see this kid as much as anyone because he's supposed to be the second baseman of the future. Let's find out all that. But if Will Myers was producing at all,
right.
if Hedges were producing just even a little bit more, Ian Kinsler wouldn't be as glaring. Now, there always has to be someone for us to focus on,
sure.
and it would be him.
Yeah.
But, man.
I mean, Manuel Margot has not been good. I don't think he's been great defensively. He's not been good at all offensively. You never see anybody say, boy, Margot's terrible. Why is he still on this team? Why does Andy Green play Margot? It's just Kinsler is the whipping boy.
Jose Pirella is in El Paso.
Right.
and he got $8 million.
Right. And he got $8 million, although I don't see that that's a big – I don't think that's keeping them from doing anything. I don't blame people – again, I don't blame people for being frustrated with Kinsler. I think anyone who watches the team would be. But the idea that he's the reason they're losing games is just seems to be terribly inaccurate when there are so many other guys – who are not producing offensively.
The way it's been explained to me, and believe me, I've been talked to about this, Kinsler's not being DFA'd. Now, something could change.
Right.
They could discover, hey, we thought his bat was going to come around. It's mid-June, and it's not. We have to move on.
Right.
But at this point, their explanation is, we brought this guy in to be a backup. Luis Urias was supposed to be here playing better. Ian Kinsler's filling in for us when he wasn't supposed to be doing this long. It was supposed to be for 16 days, remember? The original plan?
Yeah, exactly.
Tatis, okay?
Sure.
So here he is. He's doing something he's not being asked to, which is why Jose Pirella was so loathed,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he was doing something that, like, he shouldn't have been doing, playing every day. So anyway, yes, it's not Ian Kinsler's fault. Ian Kinsler is not good. It's not his fault that Padres are not hitting.
Right.
As a team.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Shortstop, Tatis was fantastic. It's hurt that he's... How long has he been out now?
15 games now.
15 games. Okay.
Yeah.
Any signs that
they're 6-9.
Okay. Any signs that it's close?
Supposedly early next week. You know what? Maybe they're trying to make sure that he's healthy for his reunion with his buddy Vlad Jr. in Toronto.
Right.
So it's really something. I'm to the point where I'm trying to figure out, though I'm not exactly sure that it's that important, what exactly is this extra carefulness?
Mm-hmm.
Because it certainly looks like, if you see the videos, if you see him in person...
He looks fine.
He looks fine.
Yeah.
But they haven't even pushed him to the 100% running portion.
Right.
Then he needs a couple days to play, you know, to get his 6 at-bats in extended spring training.
Sure.
Then they say, well, does he need to go to Elsinore? And so... If they say no, then, hey, he could play Monday.
Right.
If they say yes, he's not playing until Wednesday.
And just so people know, it's not a service time issue.
It is not.
He's getting service time.
Injured list does not have anything to do with it. You got to be down for 20 days, and that is actually option down and, you know.
Right.
So.
Okay. So.
Neither is Urias.
Right.
It's just
and
not.
And then third base, Machado, fantastic defensively. Bat seems to be coming around now. And, again, this is a guy when you look at his numbers, his adjusted OPS is right in line with his career numbers. And a lot of that's based on how he pummeled the Dodgers over the past week or so. And he has to, you know, do that against other teams. But he's come around. He's been really good at third base. He's been really good at shortstop. I don't think anybody – I can't think of one time where anybody could say he wasn't playing hard. He wasn't.
I got an email the other day.
Really? Of course.
And not to be a stereotype, you know, I don't want to stereotype here, but generally emailers oftentimes maybe are a little more old school,
mm-hmm.
shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like that error that he made. He was too nonchalant. And my reply was that I see if that's the only play that you saw of Manny Machado's where you would say that exact thing.
Right.
But I'm already, if you're watching the team, I try to be as polite as I could, Jay, because you know that's who I am.
Of course.
You know, you've seen him do that and make brilliant plays a lot of times.
That's how he throws.
The reply was, I saw something I didn't like. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Anyway, I think, you know, a few more hits would be nice.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they would take. But I think in general, Machado has lived up to what he's supposed to be. And he has not been an issue at all from what I can tell. In the clubhouse or on the field or all this cancer stuff and hustle stuff was all a bunch of nonsense. And he goes out there and plays every day. And, you know, there's not many people in baseball that I'd rather watch play defense than Manny Machado.
No one ever that I know of accused Eric Hosmer of not hustling. There were a few times last year where I know Eric Hosmer would have been safe had he run hard because the pitcher bobbled the ball.
Right, right.
But Eric Hosmer plays every day because sometimes on a ground ball back to first, he doesn't, or back to the pitcher.
You take it easy.
He takes it easy. That's what Manny Machado meant by Johnny Hustle.
Right.
Sometimes I hate the media, Jay.
Now, one of the other issues has been, since Tatis went out, there was a big outcry, Ty France should play. Let's play Ty France. Ty France has been terrible. I don't think there's any other way
generally around speaking,
it. He had a couple, I mean, his numbers, let's put it this way, his numbers are terrible. Whether he's been terrible, I didn't break down his
velocity. Only okay at third base.
Right, he's only okay at third, and he has not been hitting, especially in the past week or so.
And as happens with guys, his approach has even suffered. I mean, a guy who is a really good hitter.
Right.
Has suddenly, he's chasing pitches, he doesn't look comfortable up there, you know.
Right.
So it's starting to get to him a little bit, as it does, or it, I should say, from my seat.
Yeah, and he's young, and he's had, I don't know, 50 plate appearances or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. But we're not making a career
I'm not making a
assessment.
Judgment that he's going to be terrible, but so far his numbers are not good and does not really justify a spot in the lineup at this point, other than there's really nobody else. Until Tatis comes back. I mean, that's just sort of where they are. Catching, Hedges, he's great defensively. He had one stretch there where he was hitting pretty well. You wrote a story about it. And ever since then, he's been terrible. So it's all your fault.
Yes.
Defend yourself.
One thing I would like to say to that, Jay, is because you always point that out, is there's a lot of times I write about a guy and he goes on a hot streak, so gosh. But no, Austin Hedges, it's reached the point where he's doing so many things good and it just doesn't matter because he's hitting 159, or is it 69? 169.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a home run since, like, his fourth one. He hit his third and his fourth, like, back in the early mid-April.
That sounds about right.
Back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And hasn't had one since, and yeah, and you got to wonder, like, even if Austin Hedges went on a tear and ended up hitting 250 and got his 18 home runs, wouldn't there still be questions?
Yeah, and I think 250 at this point sounds almost like a pipe dream.
He'd hit 300 the rest of the season.
Yeah,
then.
Right.
I don't need to say it anymore. I've spent hours talking about his value to this team. But there is a reason they went out and got Francisco Mejia. They couldn't have an albatross at the number the number eight spot in the lineup. And it
wasn't for the fact that so many other guys weren't producing. I mean, you can look, Jeff Mathis has played in the big leagues for a long, long time. And his career average, I haven't looked it up lately. I'm betting it's around 200. But he's so good defensively, people have found a place for him. I think you can justify Hedges as long as he's the only guy in the lineup that's not producing.
And it's the only position
position
can do that at.
Exactly. But there are other positions that are not producing, which takes us to the outfield. I mentioned the on-base percentage. All four guys are under 300. I think Myers might be at 299.
Because of his, but start.
Right. And I was going to say, he looked so good early. And I was thinking, man, he's going to have a big year. And he's looked so lost lately. Reyes and Renfro, great slugging percentages. They don't get on base enough. But you can live with it as long as they're going to keep hitting home runs. I think you can live with it. Renfro's played pretty good defense.
Last year, too.
Yeah, last year, too. You know, Reyes, it was a nice catch he made last night. You would have liked to see him catch the ball in shallow right field, although I'm not sure if Garcia was – which one of those guys maybe should have had it. I wasn't there. You had a better view of it.
Gosh, those are ones where I have such a hard time to say should have.
Seemed like maybe both of them could have.
Look,
is that fair?
Both of them could have.
Yeah.
And Ian Kinsler certainly could have. Just going to say, that's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Anyway, Reyes, he will be an on-base guy. I believe that. And I know the Padres believe that. Renfro won't, but he'll, you're hoping he's going to hit you his 28 bombs, right? That's what you're hoping.
At least, yeah.
At least. Yeah. So that's what that is. But, wow, Will Myers and Manuel Margot, the center field combo, it's troublesome.
It is. I mean, neither one's hitting. And as I said, I don't think Margot's defense is all that great. I know there are people who think he's a really good center fielder. I've never really seen that. To me, he gets to a lot. He's one of those guys that, like, chases balls toward the alley or toward the wall, but he misses the catch more than he makes the spectacular catch. And, again, he's not a bad center fielder. I mean, he's certainly the best one they have since Jankowski's hurt. But I just don't think he's as good as his reputation, if that makes sense.
Jay, I think that it really does. And if you watch him every day, you know exactly what you're saying, Jay.
Yeah.
It's Yeah, you're right. He struggled.
You just feel like he should be just a little bit better defensively than he is, and his offense has been poor. And you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know what's down below, and for the future or anything like that. But I think there's, and I've never thought Jankowski was an everyday starter either. I've always thought he was a great fourth outfielder, one of the, you know, guy that you'd love to have on your roster.
Absolutely.
But not sure that he's ever going to be a starter.
Now, what stinks is Franchy Cordero was looking like.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't seen it in any stretches because of the elbow issues.
Right.
Different elbow issues, but same elbow.
Yeah.
And they keep happening.
It seems to be
so,
still a concern.
You know, he's at least a month away. Travis, at least a month away. So, which brings me, if we could, are you done with the position players?
I believe I've hit the end here. I'll mention that they're last in the league in walks.
It's a problem. They can't work counts.
And they're 13th in strikeouts. You know, again, out of 15, 13th and on base. I can't believe there's two teams that get on base in the league at a lower rate than they do. I mean, the one thing that's helped, they're fourth in home runs, they're eighth in slugging percentage. Oh. That's helped them quite a bit in terms of finding just enough runs to get some of these wins in these one-run games. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Kevin.
The two lefties in the outfield being out could really change a couple games. I mean, mm-hmm. It seems that, like, every other night, it's like, man, ran into a tough right-hander. Ran into a guy who's tough on righties.
Right.
Your whole lineup's righties.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers specifically moved Maeda up to pitch. I mean, it was Rich Hill's. It was Rich Hill's turn.
It's the first time I've known that, like, for sure. But it's weird how they've run into all righties. I know it's early in the season, but dang.
Yeah. And I don't know what we'll see. I guess the Pirates have a hole in their rotation right now because Talon is hurt. Archer just pitched. And did not pitch well yesterday, so I'm not sure what we'll see in terms of a spot start kind of guy on Saturday. I think
bet you'll be a righty.
I think is the day, but
of course they're not hitting lefties great. But you figure that's going to come around.
Yeah, you would hope so. But I mean, they're going to see, you know, Williams is a righty, Lyles is a righty, Musgrove's a righty. So that's at least three righties over the weekend. And I haven't looked at Arizona's rotation.
You know, Mejia
for week,
can
but.
Give you that. You know, he can give you that from the left side. It's but and you know, I think that's possible that, you know, once it's out that he's hurt, then people in the organization are really quick to tell you how hurt he was and that it was affecting him. But up to that point, they're leaving the guy out to dry, like, wow, he sucks. Well, actually, his knee was, you know, yeah. Oh my gosh. So, hey, it's possible Mejia could come back and hit like he was in spring training. I don't know.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that would help.
I'm not sure.
Because you go from there, and then all of a sudden you're platooning, and you know what? If you watch this team every day, just one little thing could make a difference, and just one little hit here. And there are times that they have done that. It has been contagious. This guy gets on, and then this guy hits
sure.
a double. And now it's contagious the other way.
Well,
anyway.
We will see what happens this weekend with four against lesser opposition.
And
let's
then the Diamondbacks
way,
come.
Than they've been facing. And then the Diamondbacks, who have been better than I think people expected, will be here. And we'll talk about that on Monday. You'll probably be back on the phone again, but this was fun.
Sure was.
Fun while it lasted to sit across from you and talk for quite a while. And hope everyone enjoyed it. And thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good weekend.
We'll do this again at the All-Star break.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, guys.